Hi, good morning, Solomon's Porch. My name is Ian, and I'll be leading us in prayer and a message for this morning. So the verse I picked today is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9. Given hope of Jesus. By God's power, the coming of the Savior to be greatly rejoiced, had to suffer kinds of trials have come of greater perishes there. You don't see and we are faith. This morning, less receive spirit. Heal the people that we will be praying for in a while. You will heal their physical ailments, but also heal them spiritually. And we also pray for ourselves, Lord. We also pray for our own healing, both physically and spiritually, that we all need on a daily basis, God. So, Lord, as you encourage us in your word today, I just pray that you will, your Holy Spirit will really move in our midst and just bless this time for us, Lord. Lord, we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verse in Peter was really chosen for myself as I was preparing for a short message this morning. You know, I was wondering to myself, you know, what is hope? The importance of hope. I think in our lives, we need hope. Often, you know, translated into the faith that we have, the faith that we have in better things to come. That's our hope. And I admit that much of the time, I place my hope and my faith in earthly things. You know, when we say things like, I hope, you know, that Hong Kong wins another gold medal. We say, you know, that tomorrow it will stop raining. We hope in things that may or may not happen, right? It's so easy for us, and we mean it literally, when we say we hope that, you know, COVID won't. So when we hope in things, oftentimes we hope in something which may or may not happen. And I think that brings actually a lot of distress, a lot of frustration sometimes when it doesn't happen. And when I was reading this verse in 1 Peter, you know, he was writing this verse, he was writing this letter to Christians, right? Christians in the Asia Minor region who were also going through various trials. Right, he wrote this as an encouragement for them who were also going through probably not the kind of trials that we now go through in the first world, but they were being tested in their faith as well. And so he was writing this thing to say, even though you go through frustrations and things don't work out, it is the testing by God for the genuineness of your faith. Right, and what is faith? Faith is hoping of the things, or in Christian sense, faith is hoping in the things if confidence will come as what scripture tells us. It's godly hope, right? Versus the earthly hope that I was speaking about, the godly hope, the faith that we have, things that will come, teaches us that Jesus will return, right? The hope that we have on things eternal that will happen, right? It says in the verse, right, that by God's power, through faith, right, we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance that can never perish. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Right? And this inheritance, this inheritance is greater than gold, which itself will perish. And I think it's a reminder of things that are eternal. Things that are eternal and things which are not of this earth. These are things which are kept in heaven for us by God's power. And so nothing can snatch that away from you and from me. And I think it's in that kind of hope that if we emphasize in our lives, you know, it helps our faith to be stronger and just gives us strength for what's happening around us. Now, this uncertainty of this earth, it just, as I said, just brings a lot of uncertainty and anxiety. I, for myself, I sometimes get distracted when I look away from God and I think about what's going on and why things aren't working out, why things are unfair. Why is it that, you know, the evil and those who do good, you know, are not rewarded? I think deep down, secretly inside myself, I hope that my earthly life here will be a reflection of the faith, and be a reflection of the good deeds that I do. But it's not the case. It's not the case at all. There is no direct correlation between, you know, what I do now, faith, and the way I live out my life, and the rewards that I receive now here on this earth. It's obvious when you say it this way, but I admit that when I live out my life, you know, I actually live out my life to receive the rewards here rather than there and the internal. And I just, at that time and at that moment, just to reflect and think, why is it that I do that? Why is it that I take my eyes off of God? I think that the value systems of this world just reward you so instantly, whereas the value system of the kingdom of God will only reward you at the very end of your life. And I think it's so difficult to have this faith sometimes. And that's why God says he's testing the genuineness of our faith. And I'll admit as well that sometimes my faith is actually put to the test to the extent when I even think to myself, am I a Christian? If I'm a Christian, where's my faith? And sometimes I wonder, is this faith real? I have these thoughts. Is this faith real? And sometimes I ponder upon it. What am I doing? Which is real or is this not real? There's no evidence necessarily that I can point to. But at the same time, when I think back in my life, from the time I was saved to now, I can't help but realize this faith I have, the only thing that really matters to me and the only thing that really matters to me. As much as sometimes I doubt, I still can't let it go. because it just anchors and it brings me so much hope and joy in many respects. I think back into the story that we hear about the father in Mark. So there is in Mark 9, there was a father who had a son who was demon possessed. And the disciples were trying to cast out that demon from the boy. And they couldn't. They couldn't cast out the demon, right? Disciples were so able to cast out demons and heal the sick for so many. But then they came across this man who had a son who was demon possessed. And, you know, Jesus came back and said, what's going on? You know, what's happening? All emotion about. And the father goes up and says, your disciples aren't able to cast out this demon. You know, what's going on? And Jesus said, you know, you of little faith, right? You of little faith, you know, and then he was pointing to the lack of faith, right? You know, and what happened? Jesus simply went up to the boy and then he said, you know, demon be gone, and the demon left. And I think it's exactly at that point in time when the father actually went up to Jesus and he said these famous lines, you know, the father said, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. You know, the father fell at Jesus' knees weeping, and he realized, and he believed. On one hand, he witnessed in his own the healing of his son, the casting out of the demon by Jesus. But at the same time, Jesus also revealed to that man at that point in time his lack of faith. And oftentimes when I read that verse, I also think to myself, how can it be that I have faith, but at the same time, I struggle with this? I almost feel that I either believe or I don't. I'm in this 100% or I'm not. But the reality is that myself, and I'm guessing for a lot of us, our faith varies. It's at 50%, sometimes at 40%. Maybe after worship, it's at 70%. But our faith is probably very unlikely to be at 100% most of the time. I believe, help my unbelief, is a statement of faith, an admission that our faith is also far from perfect. So, where does that leave us? It says in the verse in 1 Peter that all kinds of trials have come so that which is greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though it's refined by the fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay. We're being tested. Our faith is being tested. But God is not just testing us to reveal the weaknesses and to reveal the fact that we have a lack of faith. Right? Jesus didn't just wait by the side and hope that the disciples would fail to cast out the demon and then come back. And his intention was never to shame the father or to shame the disciples or to expose their lack of faith. It was a teaching moment for the disciples, as well as for the father, as well as for us. It's just to bring us and bring me to my knees as the father did, to be humble and to realize that my faith is so far from perfect. It's so far from perfect. But also reveal to me that in my own strength, there is no way, there is absolutely no way that I will be able to withstand the things this earth will throw at me and this world will throw at me. If my faith is to stand, if my faith is to be proved far more worth than gold, I will need God's help. And I forget that simple truth over and over again. I forget that I need God's help. I forget that I actually need to say that prayer that the Father said, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. But there's another verse that comforts me. I need to say that without faith. And it's that verse, how to begin to eat it. Right? The God who began a good work in you will complete it. And it gives so much at the same time and assurance that it's okay for me to say, God, I have faith, I believe, but help my unbelief. And to know with assurance that the Lord who began a good work in me and in you, when I think back to the time when I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus Christ was real, I knew that God had begun a good work in me. It gives me the assurance that even when I look at myself now in my faith journey, I see a lot of wavering. I know that deep down inside, God is working. It is not by my own strength, but it is God who is working in me to complete what started in me. And that's the assurance. Faith that I have. It may that on a day be challenged in my feelings on that, but I know as well that I committed at one point in my life, I had committed my. There are other points in my life after that, wavered when I've had strong faith. But I know I can pray to God and ask God for more faith. I know I can ask God, I can admit to God, it's unperfect, it's imperfect. I believe, help my unbelief, because only God can help us in this area. Only God can bolster up our faith. And in this verse, in 1 Peter, it is God asking us to partner with him to say that, you know, he will help us, but he will also expect us to act it out. He will also expect us to partner with him in our faith journey in this life. To walk God. He will empower us, but he expects us to also walk, to take action as well. And so there's this symbiosis, there's this walking alongside God and working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So if you're in this state, if you're struggling in your faith, if you're struggling to make sense of things, you know, I just want to encourage you. It is through these trials that we realize the imperfection of our faith, right? That Peter refers to these imperfections, but it's also revealing for us a grace of glory. The inheritance that we have is in heaven. It is undefiled. There's no way it can be taken away. On this earth, we will have trouble. On this earth, there will be inheritances for us. There will be gold. There will be treasures, but those can be lost. Right? If you are an investor in the stock market, if you put the money in the bank, there is a chance it can be lost. But there is an inheritance for us in heaven that we can anchor ourselves. That hope, the power of that hope. Of future glory is what Peter is talking about. That's your faith. That's where I anchor myself. And yet I can waver. And yet when I waver, I can pray to God. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. And I know that his response is that he will complete the good work that he has done. Which you, and in preparing this, I'm encouraging myself as well. To know that I don't have to be ashamed to admit that my faith is so far from being perfect. And I know that God will supply that strength and God will supply that faith at the same time. And I don't have to conjure it up using my own brute force, using my own determination and talking myself into it. I just need to lay this down at Jesus' feet. And just humbly come before him and say, God, I really believe, and I need that extra dose of faith. I really help me in this walk. So as I focus to lead us in worship, I just want to close in prayer. Father God, Lord, I just humble myself and say, Lord, that my faith wavers, can sometimes waver to the extent when I even question whether the so-called faith is real, and shock myself at how I can even question the fundamentals of my faith. Lord, that I know, Lord, that through your word and through the Apostle Peter, I know that these are things that you have foreseen. These are things that you have foreseen in all our lives, that you knew from the beginning. The start of our faith journey was also the start of various trials that we will receive as Christians. And we are taught to rejoice in these trials, because this is the tested genuineness of our faith. And sometimes I admit, Lord, that I'm scared of these tests. I'm scared that I would fail these tests of faith. I'm scared, Lord, as well, that this so-called inheritance that I have in the earthly kingdom will be lost because I just lack faith here on earth. So, Lord, I just want to partner with you. I want to admit my faith is lacking, but help my unbelief and supply me, Lord, with strength, with hope, with greater faith, and complete this good work that you started in me, and this sanctification that you started in all of us. So, Lord, we give you this day. We ask for your mercy and for your grace, not just in the circumstances around us today and in the plans that we have for this life here on earth, but we ask for this, for things eternal, for the things above, as we focus on your kingdom and not this earthly kingdom. Lord, we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am, empty-headed, but alive in your head. Presence of your majesty.
Towards our community prayer, let's pray for those around us who are suffering from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray for them. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from illnesses, but also who need to know the love and truth of Jesus. Let's pray for their salvation, both physically and spiritually. Let's also continue to pray for others who are also suffering from various other types of infirmities. Let's pray for their healing and comfort. Let's also continue to pray for the brothers and sisters who are also looking for jobs. Continue to pray for the Lord's blessing and provision in that area in their lives. And also, let's turn to our prayers for the mission focus. Let's pray and continue to keep in our thoughts and prayers, SP New York, to bless Ruth, Jess, and Kelly, as well as continue to pray for continued open doors for ministry in North Korea, and also our partnerships in Asia and the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's pray for this. Let's also pray for the online gatherings this weekend. We pray for the Sunday service, the Well Ministry for Healing. Pray for the SP Kids worship and service to be blessed. Let's pray for the worship team to lead us in spirit and in truth in our worship. Let's pray for the hospitality, SPU, spin and spill services and activities, the migrant worker classes, the word class, PMC, and all the other meetings that are happening this weekend. Let's also continue to lift up in prayer for the SP moms who are pregnant. Continue to pray for smooth and protected pregnancy and delivery. Let's pray for Vivian, for Catherine, for Kathleen, for Eunice, Yiling, and others. And finally, let's pray for Hong Kong. We'll continue to pray for our city and our home. We'll just pray for God's blessing and God's grace in Hong Kong. Father God, Lord, I just thank you as we close our time of early morning prayer. I just pray that you will bless the weekend and our Sunday worship ahead. Lord, may you continue to give us a godly perspective, and also may you continue to supply us with the need of faith, Lord, to walk this journey with you. Lord, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have a good weekend. Take care, everyone. See you on Sunday.